Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyar, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number 1-800-8-INYAR. 2 days ago on CNBC, there was a program, Buchanan Impress, was that it? They had a guest, Barry Lynn. And Barry Lynn, we've talked about on and off for 10 years on this program, on radio and television. Barry Lynn is the executive director of Americans United for Separation of Church and State. And he's for a long time, he's done shows with Pat Buchanan on the radio and Oliver North. And he's been pretty much on every radio and TV news show and network there is in the world, well, at least in North America. And on CNBC a couple days ago, I think he said that there was no scientific evidence for creation. I'd like to go to Mr. Barry Lynn. Hello, Barry. How are you?
I'm glad you've been talking about me for so many years. I'm delighted to finally be able to talk back.
You see that?
Let me clarify one thing. I was never on the Cartoon Network.
Okay.
So that's the one I've not been on.
All right. Well, you know the Nickelodeon Network. You've been on there?
As a matter of fact, yes.
I figured. Because they do news. And if they do news, Barry Lynn is there.
Even the one and only time I can remember my son getting up early in the morning to watch anything on television that I've ever done was when I was on ESPN. So he said, finally, you're on a real network.
That's right. Hey, Barry, did I misrepresent you 2 days ago? You said on CNBC there's no scientific evidence for creation.
Well, at least for creationism or creation science, the idea that there is some kind of substantial scientific alternative to evolution is simply not there.
Okay, so if you would, I realize you're the guest, but I'd like to ask you a question that'll take 80 seconds. I timed it.
Really? Okay.
And then I'd like you to respond.
Go to it.
Okay. If there's no scientific evidence for creation, why is it that these fathers of the physical sciences rejected Darwin and evolution and believed in creationism? They are Michael Faraday, the father of electromagnetism, Louis Agassiz, father of glaciology, Gregor Mendel, the father of genetics, Louis Pasteur, the father of microbiology, James Joule, father of thermodynamics, discovered the first law, Lord Kelvin, second father of thermodynamics, discovered the second law, entropy, Joseph Lister, the father of modern surgery, G.W. Carver, father of modern agriculture, the Wright brothers, father of aviation, Wernher von Braun, father of space exploration, the scientist who created the MRI at Los Alamos, the geophysicist who gave us the world's greatest software tool for understanding the Earth we live on, named Terra. Barry Lynn, these, and if you'd like, I've got 600 scientists who are working today with postgraduate scientific degrees have rejected Darwin's evolution, and they believe that the scientific evidence supports creationism. Why would you go on CNBC and say there's no scientific evidence for creation?
Well, I have to tell you that Lord Kelvin, although he knew a lot about what he was doing, knew very little about this subject because, of course, Darwin's theories, which, by the way, nobody really believes today because we've had them refined by the last 75-plus years of science.
Well,
Darwin's
in what way was Darwin's
– while.
Barry, in what way was Darwin's theories refined?
Well, the more for example, people who I must say a lot like yourself who really are skeptical about evolution used to say and, in fact, continue to say, you know, the fossil record is incomplete. We don't have all the intermediary steps between this life form and that life form. And, of course, over the last 7 or 8 decades, literally every year, we're finding more fossils that help to fill in the record. But it would be absurd for anyone to say, and I certainly would never say, that we know everything about how evolution functions.
Yeah, I know, and I haven't accused you of saying that. But Barry, you just said that we've been finding all these fossils. Just like I just listed off a dozen fathers of the physical sciences, including you mentioned Kelvin because he's thermodynamics, but I mentioned Gregor Mendel, who's genetics,
well,
and Louis Pasteur, who's microbiology.
Actually,
microbiology.
Yeah, Gregor Mendel actually had some views that mightily have confirmed the idea of evolution. In other words, in those famous Peapod experiments.
My point is that these men of science, on the evidence, utterly rejected Darwin.
That's not accurate.
No,
I mean,
it is, Barry, accurate. I did not take these names out of a brochure. I did the research. I went to their original writings. I just gave a seminar. We've given maybe 30 seminars all over the country. Just this weekend in Indianapolis, Does God Exist?, where we spend hours on evolution and creation. And these guys, they made clear their reject. In fact, a lot of them were really pressured by the community because they rejected evolution. But they said the evidence is against evolution.
Yeah, well, actually, very few people were pressuring Kelvin, for example, on the question of evolution. They weren't even pressuring the Wright brothers much, because the scientific
community... Not the Wright brothers. Why do you skip the microbiology and the genetics?
Well, because I don't want to just repeat the last 80 seconds of your speech. But the point is this. The fundamental difference between your position and mine is that you believe that it's important that we find scientific evidence for the existence of God, and I don't, because I accept as a matter of faith and of the ongoing revelation of Jesus Christ to mankind that we do not need the evidence of science. Science asks different questions. It comes up with different answers. It's about an entirely different universe. I don't need to have a scientist pulling together bits and pieces of data from the physical universe and trying to construct this proof for God.
All right. Well, hey, Barry.
I don't need it. I'm sorry if you do, but I think
Barry,
it is a fundamental
difference. Barry,
if
the evidence is there, if there are hundreds of scientists with advanced degrees and they say that there is significant evidence for creationism, what's the benefit to the national debate for you to go on TV and say there is no evidence when I think these fathers of the physical sciences are more qualified to judge a scientific theory than you are?
Well, I hate to tell you, I was just on CNBC yet again tonight on the news with Brian Williams with a scientist who was among those that I'm sure you would list as he had a PhD in from Harvard University, and he announced that that there was some genetic evidence from the Genome Project that suggested we were more like chickens than we were like chimpanzees.
Why would that discourage me, Barry? Why would that, as a creationist, I recognize that God designed proteins that are wildly complex. He uses them to build living cells, and from those living cells, he creates wildly complex organisms where a single cell is more complicated than a Boeing 747 jet. Scientists have not proposed any way that a living cell can spontaneously evolve. That's an absurdity.
The majority of scientists, whether you believe it's a conspiracy or not, do in fact believe what you said nobody believes.
I know that they believe in evolution, but they haven't proposed a way whereby the complexity of a living cell can come together.
Well, you know Michael Behe, or at least know of him, I'm sure, perhaps know him personally.
Yeah, he wrote a book called
Darwin's Black Box, in which he makes this argument that there are certainly irreducibly complex things, whether they're in the physical world or the biological world. If you read, though, the criticism of that book, of which there's plenty.
I have read the criticism and the rebuttal of the criticism, which devastates the criticism.
I see. How about
a bacteria that has a flagellum, like an outboard motor, so it could get around?
Yep.
And it has a dozen different components. Without any one of them, it could not function. An outboard motor doesn't work without the shaft or the rotor. It doesn't work.
The plastic case, though.
See,
that's the point.
But it can't work without any of these 12 fundamentally required parts.
What it means to you and what it means to scientists may be two different things. But I go back to this essential point. I have, as you know, if you in fact have been following my career as long as you indicated you have, I am a theistic evolutionist. That is to say, I personally believe that there is a divine purpose to the universe, and therefore I believe in the existence of God and so on. What I don't think is that it is the business of science to try to prove the existence of God.
Science?
Any more than I think it's the business of scientists, who I also have to complain about this with them, to discuss matters of theology.
Barry, come on, this is a yeah, Barry, have you heard about free speech? If scientists want to talk about theology, you should encourage them.
Of course.
You should encourage them.
You know what I'm getting at, that there are people who make the argument.
Hey, Barry, we need to take a break. Okay. Could you hold on?
Of course.
10 more minutes. Okay. Hey, this is a live commercial break here. I want to give out our order line. Our order line is 1-888-8-NYARD. That's 1-888-836-9278. I thought I'd do some live spots because of the topic tonight, creation versus evolution. We'll just have Barry on till the bottom of the hour, until the news break. And we've got some materials that you might be interested in. And remember, as always, we have a money-back guarantee on everything that you get from us. I'd like to tell you about a video called Mount St. Helens by Dr. Stephen Austin. Mount St. Helens, just a fabulous investigation into the volcano that blew in 1980. What does it tell us about geology? Call us. We're back with Barry Lynn. Barry Lynn, Executive Director of Americans United for Separation of Church and State. So, Barry, what it tells me, if a flagellum cannot function without any one of its constituent parts, it tells me that that could not form gradually over a long period of time. That's what that tells me.
Yeah, well, of course, what it tells a lot of other people, including a lot of scientists, is that whatever preceded the creation of that organism was less complex, but still fully functioning.
And, well, there's
and
no
I
such
see,
thing,
I see a tremendous,
Barry.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I see a tremendous beauty in this process, and I see a tremendous beauty in the diversity of the species of life on this planet. I literally glorify its existence. I don't understand why it is so important for some of you folks to deny the clear, convincing evidence about evolution as if it was going to destroy people's belief in God.
Science,
it does not. It
Barry,
doesn't for Pope
science,
John Paul II. It doesn't for the head of the Presbyterian
Barry,
Church.
Science should have the courage to go after the truth, to follow the evidence wherever it leads.
Yep.
You've given one piece of evidence so far since we started for evolution, and that is the fossil record. Would you think, just as I quoted a dozen fathers of science who rejected Darwin, do you think I could now quote a dozen evolutionists, leading secular publishers, saying that the fossil record is almost completely absent of the history of evolution for flowers, for vertebrates, for the 32 orders of mammals, for rodents, for birds, for insects, for arthropods? I've got the quotes here from the seminar I just did, Barry, and these are from secular evolutionary sources where the experts in their field say there are no fossil records of how plants evolved. For example, how rodents evolved, how insects, lobsters.
Yeah.
The fossil record shows us tens of thousands of species that suddenly appear in full complexity.
So no, that actually isn't completely accurate either, and there are very few. There are some. Remember, I started by saying that the details of evolution are something that we're working on because evolution, although a scientific theory, which means more than a hunch, it's not just a guess, like gravity or electromagnetism, we're refining those theories of science literally every year. If you read a Scientific American or Science magazine, you find out that a major new development in the theory of gravity occurred two summers ago, and people say, well, that was over with that Newton fellow in the apple. No, we're learning more. I don't believe that secular textbooks, there may be some, that deny the value of or the evidentiary value of the existing and growing fossil record. Of course, plants are going to be harder than than things with skeletons.
Everything.
Because they decay completely, and of course skeletons take a little longer to decay, if at all. So, you know, of course it's going to be more difficult to check up on the history of bacteria or plants. But
well, Barry, we have billions.
Overwhelming.
There are billions of fossils of plants out there. There's no lack in the fossil record for anything. We've categorized millions of fossils in museums and universities all over the world. The fossil record is enormous. It's almost beyond our ability to comprehend the volume of it. Answer this question. Do you think I would be misrepresenting the truth when I say that I could quote a dozen leading specialists, secular evolutionists, who say that there is virtually no evidence in the fossil record for evolution in their fields? Do you think I'm exaggerating or misrepresenting?
Yeah, I think that you're perhaps overstating the position.
Let me make it specific, that I could quote a dozen leading secular evolutionist encyclopedias, textbooks that say in their field the fossil evidence is completely lacking to show how whatever their specialty evolved, whether it's amphibians or fish or plants or 32 different orders of mammals all suddenly appear in the fossil record. Where'd they come from? How about Barry?
Well, but again, they do not. The developing consensus, what you're calling this, it's called the Cambrian explosion. Your explanation is not what you would get from the head of the biology department at Brown or Harvard University. You're not going to get that because you have misrepresented the intent of what people are doing, which is simply to say, look, we don't. You called them, by the way, evolutionary biologists. In other words, they do believe in evolution.
Yeah,
they're complaining, with some species more than others, about a lack filling in all the gaps. But then you guys are never satisfied. If you find 20 intermediate fossils between one species and another, you say, "Well, we demand
Barry, I'm not quoting the creationists. You're forcing me to quote one. I'd like to quote Grolier Encyclopedia, 1998, article by Alfred Fisher, evolutionist, who writes, "One of the most difficult problems has been the abrupt appearance of the major animal groups in full fledged form. This must reflect a sudden acquisition of skeletons by the various groups, in itself a problem," he writes. Going from invertebrate, where you don't have a backbone, to vertebrate, that's a pretty huge step.
Yep.
You'd think we'd have a few billion examples in the fossil record of how we went from no skeleton to a skeleton, but instead we have zero. There's nothing. Don't you think it should be huge?
Again, what you're doing is you're now quoting yourself. You stopped quoting the encyclopedia, which was a very... What he's saying in the Grolier Encyclopedia just happens to reflect the part you quoted, that this explosion, which, as I said, more and more of the same people that you, I'm sure, would quote if we had another 8 hours to do this, that they said this was a troubling issue. Why is this sudden appearance? Now, of course, as the research continues and we have better answers for that question, it appears that things are not as sudden, that in fact sudden does not mean overnight. In fact, as you know, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of years, unless you believe, maybe you do, that the Earth itself is only 7,000 years old.
Hey, Barry, if it took 10 million years or 100 million years to go from no backbone to a backbone, right, you'd think there should be some record of it in the fossils. American scientists, you've heard of that.
There is, and there will be more. I'm confident that the relationship between horses and whales is being documented piece by piece. I mean, at first, it's not even a logical step to take, but it turns out to be, guess what, true. Based on what? The fossil record.
You mean the charts we saw in public school where we saw the little horses, the Eohippus, up to modern Equus, and they went from four
about,
toes to...
about much newer data than that.
Much newer, because here's the newer data. In the charts we learn in public school, which they still use, the old Eohippus goes from four toes to one with two little laterals to just the one-hoofed horse today. But what they don't tell you in those books is that in South America, in the fossil record, you find the toes in the exact opposite direction. The older fossils have the three and two toes. I'm sorry. The oldest one has the single hoof, and the modern, 13 million years more recent, have the three toes. So, you know, water might flush in the opposite direction south of the equator, but evolution wouldn't go in the opposite direction in South America.
I'm not sure that I've completely followed your analysis here, but again, I mean this with the best of intentions,
yeah.
Because I think you, but you, your obsession with these
with
details,
in order
to prove something about
the
God,
truth.
Instead of looking to the revelations that God has given
if,
to us
if
in the Bible,
Mary,
and
if there were no God,
I don't get it.
If there were no God, I would want to know if the fossil record shows evolution.
Mm-hmm.
In American Scientist 1997, an article on arthropods said, quote, there are no obvious simpler or intermediate forms, either living or in the fossil record, that show how modern arthropods evolved. I have quotes like that from evolutionists, secular scientists in every field.
Why do they still believe in evolution?
They're believing it against the fossil record, and for you, that's your biggest proof.
No, I mean, we've barely gotten started on the topic. I started with the fossil record because it's something that a lot of people do think about and have opinions about and confused about.
Well, maybe we should
could turn to the genome project.
Why don't we go to eyesight? You know, how eyesight evolves. Or how about a giraffe's neck, a tall neck? You know what they taught me in public school?
That
the bushes died off and they had to stretch their necks to eat.
Yeah, well, that was kind of silly, but that's just like a lot of things you learned in elementary school.
I never
they
learned.
They were wrong because we didn't have the kind of sophisticated mechanism for testing, for analyzing, for discovering. This is wonderful stuff.
You know, when Galileo and Isaac Newton, Copernicus, those guys who, in fact, all were creationists, all of them, when they made their discoveries, we have gone so far standing on their shoulders because of what they discovered.
The Earth goes around the sun.
Yeah, that was the Christian.
People, by the way, who said that?
That was the Christian creationist Nicholas Copernicus.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, who told us that, and he was refuting the secular Aristotle, who absolutely convinced the world that the sun went around the earth. That was
absolutely.
Aristotle's idea.
It ought to be a piece of evidence. The reason I use it is precisely for that reason. This is a debate. It's not about secularism versus religion or Christianity and non-Christianity.
It's about the truth.
It's about the truth, and it's also about this, that religion and science in a very fundamental and important way ask different questions about different topics, and that's okay. It doesn't mean that you should try to slip religion into public school curriculum by using what is essentially pseudoscience, nor that you should trash evolution on the basis of the fact that it is not yet perfectly known.
No, that Barry, that's a straw man you're throwing out. We're not trashing it because it's not perfectly known. We're trashing it because someone as educated as you would come on a talk show and give as his first evidence the fossil record when the experts in the field lament the complete lack of evidence in the fossil record for evolution.
Well, again, you have quoted a few people. I think you have misinterpreted or added vast number of layers of your own opinion to their modest conclusions, but I'm sure that you would at least agree that a majority, again, you may believe this to be a conspiracy of silence or something.
Barry, we're up against the
evolution.
We're up against the news. They do believe it. Thank you, Barry. I'd like to talk to you during the news.
Bye-bye.
All right, Bob Enyart. So, hey, if you're listening on the internet live, give us a call. The lines are open, and I'd like to get some feedback. We like to do a debriefing after some event, and we figure out what went well, what didn't go well, what could be improved. And so if you're out there listening live on the internet, I'd like your opinion. And your opinion matters. So give us a call. Even you introverts out there. I know if you're an introvert, you really need to be like bleeding from the jugular before you'd make a phone call to get help if you're a strong introvert. But hey, call us up, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. I'd like to know how you think it went with Barry Lynn, founder of the Americans United for Separation of Church and State. Now, this is supposed to be a commercial break, so let's break. All right. Hey, we've got our science items. They're just fun. Genesis Creation, an audio album, Genesis Creation. That's fun to study what the Bible says about how God created and then to look at the evidence for evolution. And there's a part in the tape about a 45-second gap of silence because we were presenting the evidence for evolution. And then we started right back up with the evidence for creation. So actually, there's no gap. But we just wanted to save that amount of tape. So we condensed it. But what is the evidence for evolution? What is it? Barry Lynn said it was the fossils. Well, in Genesis Creation, we're not limited to a 25-minute debate. We have about 6 hours. Is it 6 hours? 8 hours, that album. And it's fun. It's six tapes, $29.95. You can order at 1-888-836-9278, 1-888-836-9278. And on the same topic, we've got a video, Bob Debates an Evolutionist, Dr. Eugenie Scott, who doesn't debate, she told us at the end of the debate. You know, Barry Lynn, he's about the feistiest debater out there. He's about the feistiest and confrontational. And speaking of confrontational, we got another video called Confronting an Atheist. Actually, that atheist was pretty low-key, so we had a long, really fun conversation. And then we've got Mount St. Helens. So give us a call, 1-888-8-NYART. Bob Enyart here, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So where'd we get our backbone from anyway? Invertebrate to vertebrate. No skeletons to skeletons. How about no skeletons to exoskeletons? That's a good trick. How do you pull that off? And how about skeletons to hollow skeletons so that birds can fly? How do you hollow out your bones to make you lighter so that your kids can fly? How does that happen? Well, I'd be interested in your comment, if you have any. We like to do a debrief of different events when we have significant events. And I'd like to invite you to call in 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. All right, we're going to go to the phones in Westminster, Colorado. Doug, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob.
This is Doug McBurney.
How are you?
Doug, I'm doing well. You're back from Mexico.
Back. I'm back from Mexico.
All right.
Hey, listen, Barry Lynn, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, hey, we've seen him debate on TV for a decade.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've seen him. I've seen him around.
Yeah.
Man, I got to say, God bless Ray.
Ray Graybar, who is our PR guy.
Yeah.
Ray Graybar, up in Loveland, Colorado, lives on his own mountain.
Yeah.
Ross Mountain. And we just call him up and say, hey, Ray, maybe we should have a guest.
Yeah.
And the next day, he's got some nationally renowned person on the air.
Well, I tell you, Bob, I've been listening all week because I've been laid up sick, you know. But I've been listening to the show all week. I haven't had the strength to call in.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I have been listening all week, and I can tell you're really fired up about this issue.
Yeah.
Creation versus evolution does got to exist.
How
I love
that. How about that Frank from Colorado? He said he's a Christian. I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
The earth is billions of years old.
Yeah. And you know, Barry, he used the name of Jesus Christ in his presentation before you did.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you notice that?
And you know what? That's what happens. The evolutionists, when you get them in a debate, the last thing in the world they want to do is talk about science. He did exactly what Frank did.
Yeah.
He said, oh, the details. Why do you get stuck on the details?
Right. I love the way you called the details the evidence. I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
That was brilliant.
And, hey, Doug, Barry Lynn tried to get me off on a different topic. You know, he tried to introduce, well, you're not one of those.
Yeah, well, everything you said, Bob, he changed the topic.
Yeah, and you're not one of those who believe the Earth is 7,000 years old now.
Right.
Are you?
You didn't even, it was like giving him the back of your hand that you didn't even bite on that.
Well, right, exactly, because what he wanted to do on whatever topic was to change the topic.
Yeah, he's such an amateur.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah, well, you know, whatever.
He's
you know
a long-term
what,
pro.
Playing,
but, hey,
he's been playing in a padded room for so long, he doesn't really know how to debate.
Well, you know, when you're supposed to defend an issue that's indefensible,
yeah,
then you're going to lose if you have any kind of an opponent at all.
So, Bob, he claimed to believe in God at one point in the debate.
Yeah, he's mocking God. Did you hear him talk about the glorious nature?
Yes.
Yeah, he worships the earth.
The creation.
Yeah, and right, as Romans said, worships the creation rather than the creator. But I didn't want to get off on that tangent.
I know, Bob. He claimed to believe in God, and again, you gave him the back of your hand and didn't even entertain the idea.
Right.
I thought that was so cool.
Well, thank you, Doug.
Yes, it was. Hey, hey, you know what, though?
Yeah.
You know what I would have loved?
Yeah.
If you would have had more time.
Yeah.
When he said that you talked about the giraffe neck and how that was explained to you and I in the public schools.
Right.
And he obviously was embarrassed by that. Did you hear him how he chuckled and he said, oh, you probably heard. And then you explained it.
Right.
I would have loved to hear him explain it now with all this newfound evidence.
Oh, Doug, that's what I wanted to ask him. You know, you must be my evil twin. I wanted to ask him that and also the follow-up. So since that was a stupid argument for evolution, could you now present us a good argument, one that's benefited from all this research?
Yes.
What's your good evidence for evolution? Hey,
but
Doug,
Bob, you were very nice in that you let him talk.
Uh-oh.
You let him talk.
Yeah.
But every time he opened his mouth, it was just so embarrassing. It was just it was really fun.
All right. Well, thank you,
really
Doug.
Fun time.
God bless you.
And listen, I really appreciated it was either last night or the night before when you gave a brilliant defense of imperialism in its truest form.
And
you compared it to a father-son relationship, and that you talked about how America had achieved our maturity.
Right, we had the right to exert our independence.
And that was just so great, because I've always had this feeling deep down that imperialism was a good idea if you had the right ideas, and you were preaching the Word of God, and you were bringing the Word of God to other nations. I've always thought that was a good idea, and I think you laid out a way in which it really is a noble idea.
All right.
So I really appreciated that. It's been a great show all week, Bob. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow if you're available.
Thank you very much, Doug.
All right.
I appreciate that.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Indianapolis. Andy, speak your mind.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Andy, could you turn your radio off?
I just did.
Great. Good going.
Apologize for that.
That's all right.
First off, I want to say most of everything you're saying I am in absolute accordance with, and I'm not trying to change subject. But
that's all right.
It's kind of a contradiction here, but, you know, you're obviously trying to sell a great deal of product.
Yeah, desperately.
Definitely. And I guess this is a kind of way off the subject.
That's all right.
Here, but, you know, wouldn't it, if the people that were buying it were really good, curious Christians, wouldn't you be able to ask for a donation type of payment system?
Well,
I find it funny that most of the people that would buy it would never even actually pony up any money if it was on a volunteer basis, yet they are some of the folks that are... Anyway, go ahead. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, but Andy, we're strong capitalists here.
I know.
Somebody could give us $100 and we're tickled pink. But when somebody calls up and says, I'd like to buy $100 worth of videos, audio tapes, and literature, I'm even more excited because that material, my passion is to teach the Bible, not to get rich. If I wanted to get rich, I'd be fighting junk mail or something.
Yeah, you're right. I know. You'd be setting up some crazy scheme, pyramid scheme or something.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, when we offer things for sale and people buy those things, like the plot, my manuscript and the overview of the whole Bible, we have had thousands of people thank us profusely because now whenever they open the Bible, whatever they read, they understand the chapter. And
you're right.
That's rewarding.
Well, you're right. You can't, and you can't, there's got to be you have to fund a message. You can't just, it's not free. The world doesn't allow that to happen.
Well, that's true. You know, Jesus, God said that the priest had to be funded and the apostles, they took collections. And it's the dirty part of our business.
I know.
I don't like it. I hate it. In fact, Andy, if you'll personally fund this ministry, we'll stop selling things.
I know.
We'll give them all away.
What do you think about the whole Scientologist? Is that what they're called?
Yeah, that is a science fiction writer.
I've been curious about this because I know nothing except for what you see, you know, the movie Hollywood people doing and hear about. So I'm curious, where did it come from? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, Ron L. Hubbard wrote, he was a science writer, and at one point in his career he said, he wrote that the way to get rich is to start a religion.
Really?
And he put those two things together, and it ruminated in his mind, and he wrote his Dianetics, and you go and you have these people work on your brain, and you meditate, and the goal is to get the creatures – this is Scientology. This is it exactly. I'm not exaggerating. To get the aliens who live in your brain to get them out. And the reason they're in your brain is because millions of years ago, their planet – that's many light years away, exploded. That's the volcano you always see. And so they came to Earth, and they like to live in people's brains. And so you have these alien creatures living in your brain. In every level you go up in Scientology, like who's that actor who's a John Travolta. I can't stand. I just get sick, a little bit nauseous whenever I see his face. Anyway, John Travolta is a Scientologist, and to go up every level, I forget how many, 13 levels, whatever, every level you got to give more money, and it gets to the big bucks. And if you're wealthy, it gets to the millions of dollars you have to give each time you go up another level. That's Scientology. It's a scam.
It was based on his whole premise is, you're basically possessed by some otherworldly being.
Alien creatures living in your brain that you have to go and get cleansed.
Well, hey, I'm going to let you take some other callers. I was throwing that little thing out there.
Thanks so much, Andy. God bless you. In South Bend, Indiana, our phone number 1-800-836-9278. Jim, speak your mind.
Yeah, I think that the whole evolution thing is propaganda for communists, socialists, all kinds of different people
people who hate God.
Yeah.
People who hate
people
God.
People against Christianity.
Like evolution. Barry Lynn, Doug was exactly right when he said that I completely ignored his statements about God. Just ignored it because that was beside the point, because plenty of people say they believe in God but mock him and reject all the evidence that he's filled the earth with, that he cares about how we live. So we need to go to a commercial break. We will be back right after this. Live commercial break here. Bob and Yar, our phone number 1-888-836-9278. Now, what Andy's idea was, people should just, let me see if I understand this. People should just send in money and not order anything. You know, we're pretty strong-willed here, pretty hard-headed. But, you know, sometimes we go along with other ideas just to experiment. So if anybody wants to follow Andy's suggestion, that's perfectly 100% fine. And thank you very much. I mean, you know what? In the last 3 weeks, we've taken in $6,100. Is that right? We have it listed on KGov, kgov.com, at the top of the website. I'm going there right now. I just opened Internet Explorer. I'm typing in kgov.com. I just hit enter, and here's the website. And at the top, it says a personal letter. I clicked on it, and there's KGov needs you. And at the bottom, $6,110 we've taken in just in the last few weeks toward our $6,500 bill on the internet. $6,500 once a year. And so we're close. We need your help. We really need your help. My wife, Cheryl, she is ecstatic, thankful for the people who've donated toward this bill. Because we're committed to this KGov ministry, reaching out to people in around the country and the world via the internet. But it's, Cheryl, for this summer, that bill was looming, coming up in September. And she was worried that, you know, we might have to put it on a personal credit card like we did last year and then struggle for the year to try to pay it off. That's, you know, that's a tough situation. So when we see that people donated $6,110 toward that one bill, of course, we have so many other monthly expenses, including thousands of dollars a month for radio time. But we try to take these things one at a time. You can't do it all. You can't do it all at once. It'll just drive you crazy. So we break big problems down into little problems. And with your help, we'll overcome the obstacles and continue to get the word out. So our phone number, if you'd like to make a donation, or you could mail a check or money order, call with a credit card, 1-888-836-9278. That's 1-888-8-NYART. One eight hundred the fossil record. Barry Lynn. That, could you believe that's his main evidence? And that's the way it is in evolution. People who are experts in a particular field, when they write, they say, "Well, there's no evidence for evolution here in the fossils in my field. All the evidence is in someone else's field." Scientists, even biologists, microbiologists, and paleontologists, they think the evidence for evolution is always in someone else's field. But it's not in their fields either. All right, let's go to Nebraska. Wayne, speak your mind. Hello, Wayne. Oh, Wayne?
Yeah, I'm here.
There you are, Wayne. Go ahead.
Okay. My slant's a little bit different. It's on creation.
All right.
Okay, and I'd like to kind of read a little bit of a summary here so the so it's fair to the audience so they don't get lost.
Well, Wayne.
Yep.
We have a rule for 10 years. People can't read, but you're a sharp guy. Just tell us what it is you want to talk about.
Okay, I want to talk about some time ago my pastor gave a series of talks on the gap time between Genesis 1 and Genesis 1-2.
Okay, that's the gap theory that became popular when Christians started confronting evolution in
the 1860s.
Right, and so they had all this evidence for evolution, so the Christians thought, oh no, evolution happened for millions of years, so they went into Genesis and they said there's a gap there. So that's where that theory came from, but go ahead.
But they used the scripture in Isaiah 45:15
that says that
shows it's the same account
that God did not create void. What is it? Tohu and bah. God did not create without form and void. That's
right. He did not create a waste place. He created it to be inhabited.
Right. And since Genesis says that God created that and the earth was without form and void.
Yeah.
And so therefore. So the conclusion by many Christians is that there was a great period of time between Genesis 1-1 and Genesis 1-2, and during that period of time, there were millions or billions of years, and who knows all what happened during that time.
Okay, can I mention a couple things here?
Go ahead.
Okay, because of that, we had a destruction of the earth, because Genesis 1 says that there was a flood. Genesis 2 says there was a flood. So we have two floods. And I think there's evidence of that.
Wait, Genesis 2 says there was a flood?
Well, Genesis 2:1-2 says that there was water over the surface of the watery deep. That's a flood. The earth was covered with water.
Yeah, the earth was covered with water, and Genesis 1 says that God brought the land and divided the waters into the land. That's Genesis 1:7.
Yeah, and then he said,
so anyway, okay, so you're saying that in that period of time, there was a flood before the flood. Okay, before Noah's flood, you're saying there was millions of years, and whatever all happened, plus there was a flood. All right, what else?
Okay, and then it gives question, if there's a time period, it gives questions to a couple things. When God restored the earth, okay, once it was destroyed, he had a blueprint, so he could put the earth back together again, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what we're looking at is we're looking at six literal 24-hour days.
After
you
a...
You could do that.
After a... Huh? Say what? What was the last thing you said?
I said since the earth was destroyed the first time from Genesis 1,
right,
he recreated or reconstructed it, okay, like a potter reconstructs a vessel. He had the materials.
Right.
So we could consider the six literal creation days as six literal days.
After the gap.
After the gap.
So that this is what you believe, if I understand it, God created the heavens and the earth, and then there was the earth, and some great catastrophes occurred on the earth, including a flood, and during a long period of time, millions or billions of years, and then Genesis 1, the 6 days of creation, those 6 days happened after the gap.
Well, the earth was laid waste just before the record was put down.
Okay, all right. Let me.
Before that time, there could have been millions of years.
All right. Now, I don't believe that system, and it came into existence as Christians were trying to fight evolution and the fossil record, and since so many secular and godless scientists were saying that there was absolute proof that the earth was here for billions of years and the fossil record proved it and evolution, the creationists didn't have time to look at the evidence, and so they sort of gave up. They threw up their hands and they said, well, evolution must be true and there's a gap theory, like Bullinger, for example.
Okay, and one thing it doesn't really give account for that we really need to know about, and that has to do with the fall of Lucifer.
All right. Well, let's not get to that right now because we have that covered. We have that battened up tight on in our album called The Fall, Genesis the Fall. But anyway, Wayne, let me read a verse to you, and I'd like to get your take on it.
Okay.
All right. But first, we have to comply with FCC regulations. Warning, 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 Will Robinson, their Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Yurt Live that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. This warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. Okay, Wayne, I'd like to quote from you Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20, that's the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And verse 11,
mm-hmm,
which is about the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what God wrote for Moses. He wrote, in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. So we know that because he mentions the heavens and the earth and the sea in 6 days, we know that Moses wrote this, he also wrote Genesis 1. We know that he's referring to Genesis chapter 1, the 6 days, and that on the seventh day he rested. So we know that this verse incorporates from Genesis 1:1 right through to Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. And Moses wrote, as he received from God, in fact, God wrote it on stone originally, that in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them.
Okay.
There is no time for millions of years in that sentence.
No.
There isn't.
No.
So I think when Christians, so many Christians have been taken in by this gap theory, and it sprung from the evolutionist who said they had evidence that the earth was billions of years old. But we proved on the show that you heard when I talked to Frank, he said he's a geophysical research scientist, whatever that is.
True that the universe is much older than 6,000 years.
No, it's not.
The universe is old.
No, it's not. It's young. Let me give you evidence. The scientists tell us the universe is, what, 22 billion years old, something like that? It used to be 15 billion years old. It gets a billion years older every 4 years.
Probably at the factor of 20.
Okay, so anyway, 20 billion years old, and the galaxies that we see, thousands of galaxies, they tell us are all 10, 15 billion years old. But the problem that the astronomers have known for decades now is when you look at the redshift of the light, the galaxies, you know all the spiral galaxies,
yeah.
Right? Spiral galaxies.
You're talking to an astronomer.
Okay, cool. The stars at the center of the spirals, the closer into the center, the faster the stars move. And the scientists have known, they call it the unwinding problem, that if those galaxies are that many billions of years old, they would have lost their spiral shape because the stars in the inner side wouldn't be inside anymore. And that is one of many problems that we can point to huge measurable evidence that shows that the universe is not billions of years old.
Yeah, but we're only looking back maybe.
No. With Hubble, and they're looking back 10 billion light years.
So they say.
Well, they're on your side. They're not on my side.
But it's still old.
It's still old. Well, this is how it's still old. God created the universe in about 6,000 years ago. That's what the evidence shows us. When you look at the surface of the Earth, you see overwhelming evidence that the Earth is very young, that it can't be millions of years old. When you look at the sun, we have a research observatories, the U.S. Naval Observatory and the Royal Observatory in London or England somewhere, and they've both taken measurements of the sun. And, you know, the sun is consuming fuel at this voracious rate. And they both have published independently that the Earth is shrinking, the sun is shrinking maybe as much as 5 feet a day. And you might think, well, the sun is so big, what's 5 feet a day? It doesn't matter.
So the Lord couldn't create the universe billions of years ago.
No, he could. That's not the topic, Wayne.
And maintain it.
Wayne, that's a straw man. Of course he could, but we're arguing, did he?
And we don't know.
I have a volume of evidence here that the solar system, the universe, and the Earth are all young. So do you have any evidence that it's old? Or do you just believe it's old?
Just from what I hear, what I read, and what others say.
Wayne, I've done the show for over 10 years.
Okay.
And my experience, just like with Barry Lynn, this nationally known expert, was just on the show for a half hour. He had no evidence for evolution, none, and he mocks creation. And when I debate people who believe the Earth is billions of years old, they have no evidence. They say something and it ends up being absurd. So there must be some reason you've come to believe the Earth is billions of years old. Do you remember why, or is it just a foggy notion?
Well, it's because I take note of when I read the scriptures, I take note of God's personality.
That's not why. That has nothing to do with why you believe that the Earth is billions of years old.
I really don't believe it one way or the other. I just wanted to debate it because
all right, good.
It could be true.
Good. Well, if it's not true, the atheists are in big trouble because evolution can't be true. That's why the atheists desperately want the Earth to be billions of years old. When it's not. You know, if the sun is shrinking 5 feet a day, extrapolate backwards, that means it was getting bigger. And go back
it was bigger in the past.
Go back 5 million years ago, and the Earth would have been virtually molten. No life would exist on the Earth 5 million years ago. Never mind a billion years ago when life started evolving. So anyway, hey, Wayne, if you come across good evidence that the Earth is billions of years old, call us up. And we'd like to look at it, all right?
Well, I don't know any more than what the experts out there know.
Well, if you hear an expert who presents any evidence whatsoever that seems like it holds water, call us up. We want to know.
Well, maybe on the Art Bell Show, huh?
Yeah, there we go. Thank you very much. And I want to say goodbye to Gary in Oklahoma.
Hello.
Hey, Gary, the show's over. Can we call you back tomorrow night?
Well, you still take two orders after the show?
Yes, we will. This is Bob and Nir, remind you to do right and risk the consequences.